Son has come to me. Through the cross, my sins are gone. He died the Lamb and rose the King. Sing for joy and celebrate. Dance with those who once were lame. Deaf ears hear them as they sing. I have been healed in Jesus' name. By the grace of God alone, we can stand and test. Them turn away from sin as they call out.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone on this beautiful day. Feels nice and peaceful in here. Nice and quiet. That's a good thing, isn't it? Coming to the presence of the Lord. You know, we have weeks that are typically pretty busy, pretty noisy. And so it's good to come here to this place and to get a little respite from the anxiety and the stressors of an ordinary week. My name is Matt Miller, and I'm happy to be here with you this morning. Traveled up from rural Iowa with my family, my wife Stephanie, and four children, Benny, Willie, Anna, and our little seven-month-old Toby. So we're happy to be here with you this morning. One announcement here, in addition to the ones in your bulletin, but want to be reminded that we're going to be serving at the banquet. Actually, Chandler Reformed Church is going to be serving at the banquet Friday, September 8, and the sign-up is back there. No one has signed up yet, so please reflect on that and be eager to serve those who have needs. That's what we're called to do as followers of Christ, is to be his hands, to be his feet, the very presence of Christ to those in need. Well, let me ask you something. This week, did you see the epic event on Monday? We got a couple people there. You must not have been around here then. You headed south, huh? Where'd you go?
Nebraska.
Lucky you. Yeah. Yeah, I had friends on Facebook. Some of them went south. One friend was in Kentucky, and the word that he used to describe it was indescribable. And other friends of mine posted on Facebook who didn't go south, just posted pictures of dense clouds and frowning faces. And that's kind of how we come here, isn't it? Sunday morning, we come with varied experiences from throughout the week. Some of us had moments of indescribability, good moments, joyful moments, happy moments. Some of us had experiences of cloudiness, hurt, brokenness, anxiety, pain. And so we come with this range of experiences, ranges of feelings this morning. Some of us are feeling kind of gloomy. Some of us are feeling alive and full of joy. And so we're here this morning as followers of Christ to be an encouragement to each other. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage each other. Hebrews 10:25. So we're here to encourage each other. We're here to bring glory to God. I want to open this morning and read from Psalm 19. The psalmist says this: "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world." We're here to hear that voice, the voice of God that speaks in a language that everybody can understand. But we're here to even hear clearer, aren't we, from the Word of God? And so may we be open, may our hearts be open to listen and to hear what God has for us this morning. Why don't we stand together and sing two songs this morning, "For the Beauty of the Earth" and "He Has Made Me Glad." Let's stand together.
Thank you.
Well, I thank you for making us feel welcome this morning. We do have other visitors here with us, so why don't we take a moment and greet each other and offer a hand of encouragement. Morning again. Yeah. Morning. Yeah. Good to see you. Our responsive reading this morning is printed in the bulletin. It's from Psalm 84. Let's read responsively. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Bring joy to your servant, for I put my trust in you. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. The Lord is a sun and a shield. There is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours, for you are great. You alone are God. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. Let's pray together. Lord God, we come to you with the words of the psalmist. And so often the psalmist would cry out to you because of a need. And that's often how we begin moments with you, is crying out to you because of a need. We thank you that you love it when your children cry out to you, when we commune with you, when we plead with you. And so we do that this morning. Those of us that have heavy hearts, those of us who are carrying burdens, we call out to you in thanks that you are the Prince of Peace, that your peace transcends understanding. And so we ask that our hearts and our minds would experience your peace in the midst of our burdens. We invite your healing upon our brokenness, upon our sicknesses, upon our diseases. Your desire is that we would experience your joy, that we would experience life abundantly. That's why you came. You came to give us abundant life. And so we pray that we would experience your life. There are so many things competing for our time, for our pursuits. And so often we get distracted by the invitation of this world to strive for things that only satisfy for a moment. May we listen to your voice, your invitation to seek you first and your kingdom, and to have that assurance that your promises are true, that all these things will be added to us as well. We give you thanks for your presence among us and with us. We thank you for healing us. We thank you that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and you are just to forgive us and to purify us from all unrighteousness, so that we stand before you holy and blameless, confident in approaching your throne of grace. And so may we cling to you both now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together again and sing Wonderful Words of Life. We're now going to turn to those wonderful words of life in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." When we think about our lives, we think greatness. We think winning. Football season is upon us now, right? And so we think win. Anybody thinking win? I heard an interview last week with the tight end for the Minnesota Vikings, and they asked him a question, what's the goal for your team this year? And I don't think he blinked, and he said, win the world championship. Win a Super Bowl. I think you could probably ask the Cleveland Browns, you know, a team that won one game last year, what their goal would be, and I think they would say the same thing. Because we like to win, don't we? We love a winner. Look at a stadium, look at a gym, and if you see that it's empty, the chances are that there's two teams or at least one team playing that's not so good, right? Look at a stadium that's full, chances are those are championship teams playing. We like to go and support a winner. We love it when our team is the best. If you are a parent or a grandparent, I bet you have this same desire for your children or for your grandchildren or a niece or nephew. You want them to be number one. You want them to do well. And so you support them. We cheer them on. It's kind of interesting what we've done in our society because, you know, when you have every parent who wants their child to be number one, it can be kind of a problem because when I went to watch my children run at the last day of school, there were 5 children who lined up to run that race. And all 5 of those parents wanted their child to be number one. You know how we've answered that problem? We just give them all the same trophy. Have you noticed that? You got 5th place? Yes! Here's the 1st place trophy. We've done that because we want all of our children to be champions. At some point in our lives, as we grow up, we discover that, you know, I'm pretty average. And so we begin to live those aspirations of greatness through our children. And I wonder if this mother here in the Gospels wanted the same thing for her sons. It's kind of interesting to see that parenting really hasn't changed that much. Mothers, fathers have always loved their children and have always wanted them to do well. It's amazing to think that this mother here, mother of these 2 sons of Zebedee, are both disciples of Jesus. I mean, can you imagine if one of your children made it, you know, to the NBA? That would be amazing enough. But to have 2 of them? I mean, this mother, not only did one of her children become a disciple of Jesus, but 2 of them! That's pretty amazing. But she wants more. Jesus. And what does she do? She literally kneels down. She's pleading with Jesus, "Can my 2 sons be the greatest in your kingdom? One at the right, one at your left, the greatest." And then Jesus says to her, I don't think you know what you're asking. And she didn't. And the two sons are right there, and he asks them, do you think you can drink the cup that I'm about to drink? And I wonder if they knew exactly what that cup was. He had just described it right before this little scene here, that he was going to die. But I wonder if they got it. Because right away they said, we can. Have you ever thought that? You're reflecting on death? I can! It's not the first words that come out of our mouth when we think about dying. So I'm wondering if they weren't exactly sure what Jesus was talking about. And certainly the mother, if she had known that Jesus was saying, yeah, you're going to drink the cup of death, I have a feeling she would have taken her sons by the arms and said, not this kingdom. You're coming home with mom. Because here's the thing. The Jesus kingdom, the kingdom of God, is an upside-down kingdom. It's not like the kingdom of the world. Greatest, we lord it over the opposition. Jesus said, not so with you. In my kingdom, if you want to be the greatest, you're going to be the servant of all. If you want to be number one, you're going to be last. The kingdom of Jesus is an upside down kingdom. Jesus came to die. Jesus said these very words, the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests, to the scribes. They will condemn him to death. Jesus knew that he was going to die. Jesus came to die. They will mock him and spit upon him, scourge him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise from the dead. Jesus knew the path that he was on. Jesus came to die. In verse 28, it says why? To serve and to give his life as a ransom. To give his life as a ransom. God's purpose in Christ was to give his life as a ransom. What is a ransom? When I think of that word ransom, I think of a large sum of money. Maybe you think of a lot of money. I think of a bad guy getting hold of maybe an innocent person, an innocent victim, and holding them hostage. And then calling someone that the hostage knows, maybe someone who has a lot of money, a friend, maybe their banker. I've got so-and-so here, and here's the deal. I want $1 million in my account, here's the number, and when I see that in my account, I will release your friend. Click. Ransom. A large sum of money, something great, something very good, given to free someone, to release someone from a hostage situation, from bondage. Jesus said, I came to give my life as a ransom, to be a payment, to free you from bondage. We must be in bondage then. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for us. We must be in bondage. Have you ever felt as though you're in bondage? Paul describes it as bondage to decay. Have you ever felt decay? Anybody have tooth decay? Got some fillings here. Anybody had to paint their house ever? Got some paint decay? Got some problems there? Maybe you've reached a certain age and you say you're over the hill. and you start to feel like your body is breaking down and decaying, we experience decay in a lot of ways, don't we? We live in bondage to decay. We're also in bondage to sin. We're in spiritual decay. Paul writes in Romans, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." And so we experience this reality called sin, and sin is the cause of our decay. Sin is the cause of that spiritual separation that we have between God and between each other. Sin is a separation. And so we are in bondage to sin. Bondage to death. And Jesus came to free us, to pay that ransom with his life. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. But only God can forgive sin. And so God took on a body so that God could bleed. Blood is the currency of God's economy. So Jesus came to shed his blood, to give his life as a ransom, to free us from the shackles and the bondage of sin and death. Jesus came to die. We don't like death, do we? We try to escape it, try to figure out ways to avoid it. I just read the other day that Google is spending billions of dollars to try to figure out how we can live longer, how we can extend life, because we try to avoid death. It's scary to think about dying. But Jesus came to die. And Jesus calls and invites his followers to die. I like to think of it this way. Jesus came with a one-way ticket. No avoidance, no turnaround, no escape. Jesus came to die, and when we receive him and we enter into his kingdom, he gives us a one-way ticket to follow him, to die to ourself. About 100 years ago, there were a group of missionaries who bought one-way tickets to the mission field, to places all over the world. And rather than packing suitcases, they packed coffins. Yeah. They each bought a coffin and they packed their coffins and they boarded boats and ships. And when they waved to their family members and friends, they knew that they were making their last goodbye because they knew they would never return. They all had one-way tickets. A.W. Milne was one of those men, and he went to an island in the South Pacific, an island that was inhabited by headhunters. And all the missionaries that had gone to that island previously were martyred. But A.W. Milne went to that island without fear because he had already died. He had already died to himself. He packed his casket. A.W. Milne spent 39 years on that island. Years of living among the tribal people and loving them. And he died there among them, and they buried him in his casket in the middle of their village. This is what they wrote on his tombstone. "When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness." That'd be an amazing thing to have written on our tombstone. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to be light and life in a broken, pain-filled world so loved by God. Jesus came to die. And Jesus gives us that same vision as inhabitants in his kingdom, as co-mission workers. Jesus calls us. He hands us a one-way ticket to die to ourselves and to enter into the pain and the brokenness of those around us. The banquet is an opportunity to serve and to give our lives, to take that one-way ticket, to go there, to sit next to people who have experienced hardship and brokenness and pain and who don't look like us. They're not dressed as nice as us. They don't smell as good as us. Maybe some of us are still holding a round trip. We exchange that ticket that Jesus gave us for a round trip ticket, and so we go to the banquet and we just kind of stand by the sidelines. We avoid. We escape. We get just far enough, but we didn't come to give our lives. We came to observe. We didn't come to die. We came to keep and maintain our comforts and a safe distance between the hurts and the brokenness of this world. Which ticket? To quote a commercial, which ticket do you have in your wallet? One way or a round trip? Jesus gives us a one-way ticket, and he calls us, actually commands us, to be his very presence of light and life in a dark and broken world so loved by God. May we follow him. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for your great love for us. We thank you that you didn't come with an escapist plan, but you came to literally die for us, to get into our pain and our brokenness and our messes. You demonstrated your love for us in Christ while we were still sinners, while we were in the process of rebelling. You didn't look at us and say, ooh, I want to go there. You stepped right in. You paid our ransom, the burden, the debt of sin, to release us, set us free in you. We thank you for freedom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite the deacons to come and receive our offering this morning. Please remain standing and let's sing together the first three verses of Take My Life and Let It Be. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and go love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.